Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Belicio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Belicio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Belicio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at beliciofoods.com/careers.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the morning show, Tuesday edition, where the sun is shining and the birds are, I think they've kind of come out of from the south and they're flitting about and the grass is growing already. So welcome. It's spring, kind of. Mm-hmm. And we have two very special guests here on the program today, and we're so happy to have you here. Because we're going to talk about one of my most favorite topics in the world, and that is just being nice. I even have a Be Nice t-shirt.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow.
Yes. But no, that was my, we opened the restaurant after COVID shirt. Somebody made it for me because I was like, would everyone just be nice
just
when
be
you
nice.
Come back in?
Right.
Please. When we have all of these rules
if we've
and
learned
regulations.
Nothing else.
Yes. Just be nice. So anyway, I should have worn
Perfect.
My shirt today.
Perfect.
But anyway, no. And we are going to talk about some really cool things today and a cool project that you guys are working on. So could you first introduce yourselves? Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Dale Likens. I am the founding pastor of the Open Table. And I've done that for about 5 years. I'm an author. I write. I have a blog and podcast as well. And
oh, cool.
That's kind of what I'm doing in the world right now. So
very good.
Yeah.
I'm Don Rollins. I'm a semi-retired Unitarian Universalist minister.
You just used two words that I have no idea what those mean. Could you back up a minute?
It is a mouthful. It's a mouthful, man. It's a mouthful. Quick version, as the Methodists were coming to the colonies, there were these folk who were Unitarians, basically people who found Jesus total role model, but were not convinced of his deity. And so the other side was the Universalists, and there was the folk who said God is love, and we're not so much worried about who gets into heaven, we think God is love, period. So those are the two traditions that came together in the late 1700s. And so we've been here a long time. It sounds storefront, but it's not. So where we are today is a pretty progressive denomination. And I spent 33 years as an interim minister after I left Jackson. So
okay.
Now I'm coordinator because I crossed paths with Dale.
Yeah.
I'm now the coordinator of the Open Table, which is very close to where I come from.
Very cool. And so to tell your story, Dale, a little bit, mm-hmm. you lived here in Jackson for a while, and let's just talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, I was here in the 2000 zeros. I came to Jackson.
The aughts.
I came in 2001 and was the pastor of what then was Christ United Methodist Church.
Yes.
And I was there until 2009. My two kids graduated from Jackson High School while we were here, so it's kind of home for them. And I also have family in the area. My mom grew up in Beaver, my dad in Minford, and
local ties for sure.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, there's some connection through all my life with Jackson in some way. Yeah.
Well, very, very good. So you were the pastor there, and then you moved to. What is it, Mason? Where did you move?
Well, a couple of stops. I went from here to Columbus, actually, to Hilliard. Pastored there for about 3 years, and then to Mason.
Okay.
In 2012.
Not the O's.
No, I was into double digits. It's 2012.
We grew up.
Yes, and I was the pastor at Mason United Methodist Church from 2012 till I left in 2019. And I left Mason United Methodist Church and the United Methodist Church denomination completely at that time in June of that year. So I handed in my credentials of an ordained person, and that just kind of became null and void and started this new work, or this new thing. And for a long time, that's what we called it.
We just
call it the new thing.
I love that.
I know. We were like,
for lack of better term, what better to explain it than the new thing?
It's the new thing.
So then, did you guys come up with the new thing together, or how did the new thing begin?
Dale was cranking before I ever met him. Things were already in motion. So, yeah, it really was Dale's vision.
I love that.
Yeah, we had been. Gosh, I mean, we started in 2019, and so we came to Jackson, which is when Don, our connection started about a year ago. So we, there was another group in Mason that started like the new thing, and created the name, the Open Table, and all the kind of foundation of that. So
okay, very good. Yeah. So let's just get to it. The Open Table. So it started kind of in the Mason area. Did you start it, or was it a group of people that got together and then had the new thing idea, and then like a group started it? Tell us how it all came to be, and then we'll get to what it is because it's super cool.
All right. So, I left the United Methodist Church for two reasons, and I don't want to make this, I'm not judging the United Methodist Church particularly, but it did not suit me any longer after 30 years of being there.
I don't think that we're going to make any sense unless we're honest with our viewers.
Yes, and
so
that's a
big
part.
Let's go ahead and just talk.
We'll name things,
yes,
what they are.
It's okay, because right. I'm... Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it just, let's do it.
Okay. So I left the United Methodist Church in 2019 for two reasons in particular, specifically. Their exclusion of LGBTQ people in the full life of the church in the United Methodist Church. The folks who are LGBTQ cannot get ordained or married. And there are other restrictions as well, and on clergy who might want to do that. So there was a lot of things going on in the denomination around that. And in 2019, instead of moving a little more inclusive, they actually doubled down on that and tightened the restrictions. And so
really?
I began to, I had already said in my own spirit that if that happened, I was not going to stay.
Okay.
But at the same time, there was a lot of disillusionment on my part with the system that I was part of and the denominational hierarchy. And I, those two things came together, and I made the decision to just leave. At 30 years, I could have retired, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to cut the ties I had with them so that I was completely free to do whatever I was feeling I needed to do the rest of my time, that I had on earth. So, so that's kind of, the thing that got us started thinking about, well, now what? And there was a person who, he and his husband had a business, and they were part of my congregation at the time. And when I told him that I was leaving, he texted me and said, we could start a new thing.
A new thing
in Mason. And So I said, yeah, okay, you know, because I hadn't even given it much thought, but we met and talked about it more and pieces fell together. And he kind of, you know, was a big part of getting that going with me. And there were five other people that started meeting in a core group.
Okay.
And creating, you know, our purpose statements and all those kinds of things that are important to define what you're going to be, which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
You said. But anyway, that was all in, like, you know, late spring of 2019, and we started gathering together and meeting in July, the second week of July.
Wow, that was quick.
It was.
Good
well, because
you.
There's, we just, you know, our first time together, we were at a public park and had a meal together and, you know, some singing and a little teaching, and it was very simple, and so there wasn't a lot to, like, get ready. So, anyway.
But, you know, sometimes that's the best thing.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Okay, so let's get to what the Open Table, you know, how you kind of got started, you're telling us, but then how has it progressed?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we have a half
5 years.
Hour,
so. Yeah, we have time. We have... I would say that, you know, over time, what has happened at the beginning in particular was people who were part of other churches who were somewhere in that LGBTQ family started connecting with us or reaching out saying that they weren't sure they were safe in their congregations anymore, or that they wanted a place to raise their families where they could be who they were.
This and, makes me absolutely insane, and, because isn't the whole point of God and religion to be accepting and love each other and be kind and be nice?
And be nice. I think so. I think Don and I think so.
But anyway.
And there are other people.
But so. The fact of the matter is, that's the fact of the matter, is that if people were not feeling comfortable where they were going,
yeah,
they needed an alternative.
They need an alternative. And it's not like we were the only affirming church, but they somehow found us. And that's kind of the group of folks that, you know, started to increase the, you know, participation in the Open Table. And then the pandemic came in about 6 months after starting, and that shifted a lot. We coming back from that in 2021, we did some things in 2020, but really came back together in summer 2021 and started finding that folks who were now reaching out to us were saying, not that the other population was not, but we added this folks who were saying, I'm leaving my fundamentalism and the church that I've been part of for so long because I don't think I believe what they're teaching anymore.
Sure, not
and
necessarily. I'm a victim of something, but like I'm just not
I'm
agreeing with what they're.
Well, the pandemic really changed people and changed us all, I think, in a lot of ways. And people had a lot of time to think and realize that, you know, what is really important in my life now. And part of that was their faith experience, too, changed. And so that began our kind of what's called deconstruction journey as well, where we started to, like, look at all of that as a community. And so it has become an important part of who we are now. So, and Jackson, I think, actually, the community in Jackson really embodies that. I don't know if I'd say more than Mason, but it really has inspired me. To experience that, and you know, Don can speak about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Don. Has that been kind of your experience and thought as well, or
professional segue? By the way, that was excellent.
Thank you.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah. Quick context for me: grew up, actually born in Jackson, and then grew up mostly in Oak Hill, and took off. Of course, it was just 20 years ago when I graduated high school, but soon thereafter...
A few years ago, right?
Exactly.
I'm teaching them that term.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
So what happened with me was a lot of spiritual changes and then came to the point where my denomination kind of worked for me. So what happened to me during COVID was, is it time to retire? And if so, Mary and I, my spouse, decided, where would we go? Back to Jackson. So that's the context for me as we look at what's happening with this group. What I do is strip down kind of church, kind of not. It's very involved on from the other folks' part. They're really engaged talking about their spiritual journeys. So far, they get real in ways that I felt constrained, even though it's a very progressive denomination. I just felt constrained. And so it was just ritual and structure and all the things that you have to do. Worry about the color of the paint on the walls, not so much my thing. So it was time. And coming here, what's happened is that this particular group, I'm also a musician, so I bring the music piece. We do the meditation piece. We do some readings and discussion. And it's really kind of about where you are. And when folks share, I'm just blown away. Because, again, that institutional stuff was in the way. You couldn't get, it wasn't easy always to get to that point where you say, my addiction is out, is crazy right now. My grandma's dying. To get to that point where you can feel free to say, this is who I am, this is what's going on.
It's almost like the Stepford Wives or something, like where everybody feels like they have to be so-so when they go.
That's right.
And I'm not, listen, I am not knocking any church or any denomination, but I can understand why people would feel that way. I have to put on my pretty dress and go sit there with my, and have my kids all in a row and everything be so-so. And sometimes you just don't want to be so-so.
Well, sometimes that hides the reality and truth of what's going on, and people are afraid to say that.
And if you can't do it in church, where can you do it?
Why come back?
Or you get very used to that.
You should be safe.
You get very used to that. Yes, or to say, you know, I'm queer, or I'm gay, I'm, you know, just those other things too that just don't get permission to be said, or to so that you hide, you know, a lot of what your own story is. And so.
What are some of the? I completely understand the LGBTQ community, and I don't understand what happened with the Methodist Church. I wasn't you know really privy to that. I know what happened, but I don't understand what happened. But what are some of the other groups who have felt perhaps ostracized by other denominations or have felt not safe that you have encountered?
How about you, Don?
People of color. It's been a rough ride for black folk, especially brown people, too, in Jackson County. The history is... For me, it also has to do with folks living in poverty, because coming from here, my vision was, would there ever be a place, the question was, would there ever be a place where I could bring this way of being authentic as best I can, most days, to hurting folk. And so my neighbors where we live now teach me, these are my spiritual guides about what it is for generational poverty in Southeast Ohio.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So is there a place for folk who don't have to look right, act right, smell right? Let's get down to it.
Yep.
Is there a place where people who are hurting at that level can come and say, you're okay, you matter here.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're dealing with out there, it doesn't happen here. So that vision for me is really strong, to be from here, to go away, and to come back. And the same is true for my wife, Mary. She was raised in South Carolina and in poverty. So that's our heart. That's our passion.
I think that's so wonderful. Wow. So I was thinking driving in this morning as I was thinking about you guys and how this whole thing was going to go today. Because I plan so far ahead that I think about it when I'm in the car driving here. But no, I've actually been thinking about it all night. But I was thinking about the brewing community. And when my husband and I thought about, you know, opening a brewery, and we started talking to people and started meeting people, we realized that the brewing community is one of the most diverse, accepting groups of people that we have ever met. And I would like to parallel that a little bit with, I think, your mindset, of, you know, everyone's welcome. Like, I don't care what you look like, who you are, whatever. Please come on into the brewery because you are safe there. And no matter what, if you want to work there, we don't care, you know. And I would never, ever judge someone. In fact, when we first opened, and this is not like touting my horn, I'm just saying that, like, I think there is a parallel between the two. But it did my heart good when we first opened. We were doing open interviews, and I had like two or three people come in, and I said, you know, I always ask, like, what are you looking for? One of my questions is, what are you looking for in a place of employment? Like, turn the tables, right? And many, like three of them said, well, we heard that you like are very accepting of humans just in general, and the attitude here is good and whatever. And I was like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So I think what you all are doing is so amazing to make people feel welcome and give them a space to feel safe. Yeah, because even in the workplace, I mean, it happens.
Sure.
So surely to goodness at church, should feel safe.
Or in some, in a community that has some faith connection. I think, Jennifer, one of the, a piece, when I think about welcoming, okay, you mentioned that word, and that's very important. Lots of places in religious groups will say that they welcome, everyone is welcome, but that isn't always, doesn't always mean that everyone is accepted.
Right.
For who they are, and that they're embraced.
Sure.
And that they're seen.
It means we're not going to kick you out at the door.
We're not going to kick you out, but often it means you need to change.
Yes.
You need to be something like us, you know, and you have to take on what we, like you said at the beginning, what we tell you to how we want you to be. And so in the open table, it's we have three words we use to talk about that here in Jackson, and that is that we are real. In other words, and part of that includes being real with our questions.
Okay.
You know, we're not a place that Don is not going to give you all the answers, you know.
And hardly.
Hardly. And neither am I. It's a place that we're fostering questions, you know.
You're not going to, like, single out someone or put them on the spot or make them feel uncomfortable.
Right, no. So, you know, they're real. We're real. We are accepting, and we're loving. And so those are the guiding, you know, principles that help us determine, you know, what we're going to do and how we're going to be. So
at our best.
Yes.
Just add the caveat. One of the things I do in the welcome is cover what you just talked about and say that we seek to, when we screw up things in our life, we go back and try to clean it up, own that, and then move through it. And so I just want to, I put that caveat in always with religion, at our best. This is who we are.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
So this, as I'm listening kind of to what you're saying, I almost feel like this is like part religion, part therapy in a way. I don't know. Is that a bad way to put it?
I want to go there because
what do you think about that?
I have lots of thoughts about it, but I'm going to go to the group. Last Sunday, someone shared that it seems like my spiritual path and my mental health and my well-being and my quantity and quality of love, that kind of together. And so they were looking for, they being folk who were this person in therapy, doing good work, feeling good about it. And she came to the point where she asked the question, now what does that look like in a faith community? And so, yes, there are plenty of folk, at least in that group that I'm working with, serving right now, who say this is the same trajectory. This is me being me in a different way. I want to be a religious person now on top of the better person that I want to be. So, yes.
I want to add that on. Yeah. And what I'm picking up, too, is that you all are allowing people to talk, and you're not talking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, sometimes I feel like that's a thing in certain places.
Yes, this is not the open table, no matter if it's in Mason, where I am located, or here in Jackson, where Don is facilitating. neither place like puts on a show that you sit and watch.
Wait, do you have fireworks?
No. No, we don't even have fog machines.
Oh, darn it.
Not so far.
Not yet. No.
Not yet.
So, no, we're not going to tell, you know. And, I mean, there are times that we, you know, are going to talk and share from our own experiences, but other people are invited to do that
as well.
But
you're giving people a voice, right?
Yes, and I am not the only voice. Don is not the only voice.
Hardly.
That is important in the community. I think it's significant for Jackson in particular, because it is a community that is saying right up front, hey, we're affirming of all people. This is a place where maybe you haven't felt, whether that's in club or school or church or other places, that you can be honest.
Or everywhere.
Or everywhere. Honest about who you are, what you think, and maybe, you know, there are assumptions made, I think, in most communities that people are a certain way, you know, that they all think the same way, they believe the same way, they maybe, you know, act out their lives in the same way. And it's and they're the folks who are not in that, you know, assumed majority. Spend a lot of energy pushing down all of who they really are. And so we're saying, don't do that. Come and be honest and real.
And, you know, there's so many facets of life. I'm thinking right now we're in political silly season, right? That's what Dad termed that phrase years ago, and it's so true. You know, we get into political silly season where everybody's a horse thief other than their candidate and whatever. And I can see all of this happening in politics too. You know, the thought of people assuming, what was your word? What did you say?
The assumed majority.
The assumed majority, because, you know, my area is all Republican or my area is all Democrat, or you have to be one or the other. And I think about that a lot, too. And I feel like there's a parallel there with religion.
Yes, or you
and
are
what you're doing.
Right. Or you're afraid to
you can't say,
say no,
God,
I don't do that
for the Democratic candidate
or whatever.
This time. And everyone goes,
right.
You know,
there can be an atmosphere of that, you know, that does not make that safe for whatever reason. Again, we're not talking any particular.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
there are parallels in the.
Or you should be able to say, you know, I'm a registered Republican, but I think I'm going to vote for this Democratic candidate, and not have someone get mad at you. Just have them say, that's interesting. Why?
That's what my therapist tells me to say. Well, that's curious.
Okay. Well, but can't we just have a discussion about it instead of like judging? You know what I mean? And so I think empathy is like the word that so many people should live by. I want a shirt with that on it too.
There you go.
Because listen, at the end of the day, humanity agrees on what, 85% of everything. We all love our, you know, friends and spouses and, you know, whatever, and our family, and, you know, we all pretty much agree on most things. It's the little itty bitty things that we disagree on that everybody tends to focus on. I don't know. That's just my thought. Mm-hmm. And if everybody would just have a chat instead of get mad.
What a thought.
A very radical thought.
Is that radical?
I think it is.
Sure looks like it.
I think, apparently.
So tell me, or tell our viewers, and if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask the gentleman while they're here. If anybody has any questions, yeah, just shout them out there. But tell us, when is the open table? How do people belong? How can they come?
6 p.m. every Sunday at the Marquet Lobby.
Okay.
Folks don't know, that's right downtown Jackson.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It's the big, you know, thing that says the Marquet.
It says the Marquet.
Art Deco. Yeah.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as far as joint, you know, they could just show up and then there you go. That's it.
Okay.
Just, you know, there is a, the people who are connected with the Open Table in all of its places and with all of its people, there's a variety of ways they do that. Some people participate in, you know, like they're always show up, and those are, you know, that's cool. And then there are people who kind of, you know, are on, you know, just are connecting with us in certain things that we do, you know, like we,
okay.
You know, we are one of the pieces that is important is, you know, showing acts of love in the world. And so one of the weeks of the month, that's what we do.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's the fourth week. And sometimes we, you know, in Mason not too long ago, I saw someone show up for one of our fourth Sunday, you know, service moments and projects. And they were, I hadn't seen them myself with my eyes for 2 years, but they're,
what?
They're just part of our community. And it's like, you know, in my previous life, we would have been like on that and, you know, trying
where
to follow
been?
Up on them and you're not yeah. participating. But now it's just like, they can do it any way they want is what I'm trying to say. And there's no judgment on that.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
so. There is a rotation worth mentioning. And yes. That is the first Sunday of each month is kind of spiritual growth. And what I do there is either it's a topic or a resource or a book or something like that we've all read. And so we talk about that.
Okay.
And there is some centering and worship ahead of that. But that's really the focus. The second and the third are what we struggle to call, I think, worship. The second and third Sundays. The fourth has to do with the outward face. How is it that we take this love, we're trying to experience it, push that out to the world. And then the fifth Sunday that happens four times a year is potpourri. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a surprise.
It is.
You never know. That's why you have to show up.
Yeah. You have to show up. Or the website. Actually, our website.
Oh, there's a website?
There is a website.
How did we fail to mention that?
Well, we wouldn't have left without mentioning it. But the website will, there's a location right now. It's theopentablechurch.org. And on the homepage, there are two locations, Mason, which I've talked about and where I am, and Jackson. And if you click on either of those, you'll see the details with the dates of what's happening. So you don't even have to wonder what it is. If you remember to check the website, it would say, like, if it's a fourth week, it'll have the date, and it will say exactly what they're doing that day. Like, hey, we're collecting. I think Jackson coming up is collecting for Square One Women's Children's Shelter.
Yes.
And so their executive director is coming to talk about that. And
okay.
So those kinds of things, all that information is on opentablechurch.org, and that's important.
And then you said you have a podcast, so let's give you a shameless plug for that as well while you're here.
Yes, I do. And actually, my podcast and my blog and my book can all be seen. You can just, if you forget about where to get all of those things, DaleLikens.com has all of it.
So, there you go.
There you go.
Super easy. DaleLikens.com.
Yeah, DaleLikens.com. The podcast is called Hear It From Me. My blog is the Unlearning Blog. Both of those are about people find their own journey of finding their voice and who they are.
Okay.
And living authentic lives. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is really a part of the Open Table too. It's all part of just some things that are very important to me.
Very good. At the end of the day, isn't, you know, just happiness, I feel like it would be a nice thing for everybody to have. And maybe this would be a great way for you to start finding your path there.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
How's that?
It's very fine.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, is there anything else you would like to share with our viewers while you're here?
Quick plug for an open mic that I started at the library.
It was you.
Yeah, that guy. That was
awesome.
You.
It
was
You're gone. That guy.
Can I work that in?
Yes.
All right.
Super segue.
Okay. the band I work with and I have come back, we're called the Geezers for good reason. and we played at Parker's Place with some other folk last Saturday night. It was great. Gen Zs and millennials. It was just fun to turn them on to some of our stuff. So that's the other shameless plug is music. Mm-hmm. But the real thing is trying to find a place for an open mic is not always easy in Jackson. And so we found the library said, you know, let's give it a shot.
Okay. Okay.
And so the third Tuesday of each month, we do an open mic. Right now we have a horde of kids coming in this time around. We're so excited about that.
That's awesome.
Kids come do their thing. Give them a platform.
And open mic doesn't necessarily mean you have to sing. No, I think a lot of people get confused
poets,
about that.
Poets, storytellers, comedians. It's folk who do things. It is family friendly. You know, you gotta behave. But
dang it.
Yeah. But let me just ask folks to come, because the library rightfully says, you know, if we're going to spend resources, we need to have bang for the buck.
Yeah.
And so we need some bodies to show up and help us get this thing rolling. But it is exciting. I'm really, really fired up about the idea of those shower singers and poets, or people who read poetry, or people who just want to be somewhere again where it's just fun.
Very good. And that is when again at the library?
Thank you. Well done. That would be the third Tuesday of each month, 6 p.m.
Perfect. In the Potter Room?
6 to 8. Yes. Yeah.
Which has, by the way, the coolest carpet I have ever seen.
It is sweet.
Okay.
Coolest carpet I've ever seen. Roger, I tell him every time, he's like, would you shut up about the carpet? I'm like, no, this is really the coolest carpet I've ever seen in my life. It is really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. It is impressive.
See? Whoever the carpet picker outer is did real good.
Fine.
Perfect. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today. Don't forget the open table, whether you're in Mason or here in Jackson, where they meet at the Marquee, 6 p.m. on Sundays. And everybody's welcome.
Thanks to you.
Literally, everybody's welcome.
Celebrated,
accepted, all of the words that we can use.
Yeah.
Thanks to you and your crew. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yeah. And if you're ever back in town, stop by.
Well, I think we need to come back and talk about some other things.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking off the air about that. So, yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes I get myself in trouble talking off the air, but I think this one will be
safe. I just brought it on.
Yeah, it's fine. No, you're welcome back. Come on back and see us. All right. Well, let's do our weather forecast. I think Pete was going to come in and do a little bit of news, right, Dylan? Okay. Dylan says so. So.
All right. So we're done.
Yes.
We're
so
gone.
You may leave. You may exit the building with Elvis. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Thank you.
All right. Let's head to the weather forecast, where it is actually looking really good the next 2 days. Some sunshine in the sky as I was driving in this morning. Today, highs around 66 degrees. For tonight, or for tomorrow on Wednesday, looks like even better with sunshine and highs of 70. A little bit warmer on Thursday, but that pesky chance of rain back into the forecast with highs around 74 degrees. And then it gets a little cooler as we head into the weekend, but we will still stick with 60s. That is A-okay with us, and we are all right with that. So Hayden, how you doing while we're waiting on Pete to get here?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good. So what's going on at school right now? Because you are a senior.
Yeah.
And looking forward to graduation.
I'm ready for it. Honestly, not a lot. I have spring break for my Ohio classes because I do CCP stuff. So I'm just kind of working on some last-minute scholarships and then...
Oh, wait. Yeah. So you actually... So when is Jackson's spring break?
I have no idea.
Or is there one?
I think it's at the end of March, like right before Easter, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
At a weird time this year, I think.
Okay. But you're on spring break from Ryo, as is Dylan.
Yeah.
So very, very cool. Okay. So did you get your cap and gown yet?
I did. Yeah. We had cap and gown photos and grad videos last week.
Very cool. So is it feeling like weird? Like, is it feeling all official now?
It was weird. I'm ready for it, though.
Okay. Oh. Dylan's been wiring cameras, so he's all excited about this. Is Pete coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was grilling Hayden about about his cap and gown and whatnot. So here comes Pete. Oh, we've got an extra microphone and stuff, but we'll just...
All right. Well, I don't see anybody helping me right now.
No. But that's okay.
All right.
It's all good.
Okay. Well, all right. The production team just came by and took the other microphone, so we're not going to get any help.
I guess not. It's all you, Pete.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, very good. Hey, we're going to talk about a few things here in the time that we have left. And we want to start you know, with Mechanicraft and Brandon Oliver.
Yes.
We want to let you know that we've got some good coverage coming in our print edition. It's beyond what you've seen so far.
Aww,
this is a picture that we're going to use on the front page, and that is a genuine joy at the moment of triumph.
Yep.
That is McKenna Craft jumping into the arms of her coach, Brandon Oliver, after she won her third straight championship. We want to congratulate and thank McKenna and Brandon for after their eventful weekend and you know, their victory tour on Monday. They made time to come here Monday evening, and there is Brandon. And there is McKenna looking a little different than she did over the weekend.
She cracks me up because she dolls up pretty darn good.
Boy, she did. She and Brandon, that picture was actually taken there in our conference room after they were very generous with their time with our sports editor, Todd Compston. And that interview story will be featured on our sports page. They kind of take you behind the scenes on the planning and the thinking going into you know, the state tournament, how they handle it. There is a lot of what they call game planning, just like there is on team sports.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they talked about, you know, the mindset. They talked about that one match where it was 2-1 and how that went and like that. And talked about, Brandon, as you might guess, when you are eminently successful, you're very talented, but chances are you work your butt off. And McKenna certainly did that. And that is touched in that story as well. But so we have all that special coverage coming. We'll have it on the website in addition to what we already have. And we don't want to have this lost to the shuffle. I know you've mentioned it, but Brandon Oliver won a very special award himself. He was presented what was called the Sportsmanship, Ethics, and Integrity Award on the big stage up there at the Schottenstein Center.
Awesome. He deserves it.
And that is presented annually to a person who has displayed outstanding traits of ethical behavior and integrity in the performance of their duties and responsibilities and is a role model for others. That's a lot to live up to right there. And obviously, you know, that's done by... that's done with input from peers. That's done over time. It's done by being a good person for a long time doing good things. And so we congratulate Brandon Oliver. In addition to that, which has nothing to do with winning and losing, he has been a winner as far as a coach here. McKenna adores him, gives him a lot of credit for her success. Yeah. And so I think, by the way, I hope that we can back this up. We talked about having McKenna and Brandon on the show, and we're shifting a little bit. You don't even know this, Dylan, but or maybe you do know this, but it looks now like it's going to be next Monday that they can come.
Is that right?
Yep.
Right. We were going to maybe share time on Wednesday because we already have, you know, the Wellston High School drama group coming in before this.
No, we're not sharing time.
Right. So this is going to be next Monday. They'll have more time and so forth. But congratulations to both McKenna and Brandon. This is, you know, I know that we've talked a lot about it, and there's going to be a lot of ink about it, but this is one of the great sports accomplishments of all time at Jackson High School. So, you know, congratulations all the way there. All right, congratulations in advance and behind to the Jackson High School competition cheerleaders. Here they are. Performing last night before a pretty good crowd there in the gymnasium. And you can see some of the crowd there on the visiting side. And you can see the girls there in one of their routines that they will show in the international competition in Orlando this weekend. And they had quite a day yesterday. They went to all the elementary schools in Jackson and they thrilled the kids with their routine, especially
cool.
The little girls are already thinking
fun.
About being cheerleaders after seeing this. And then they performed last evening at 7 p.m. for the public. And this served two purposes. It allowed the public to see what they're going to do down in Orlando, what they have done to be state champions, and a great practice run for them as well. So we want to thank Dylan for going down there, getting me a picture. We have a video that was up on the Telegram Facebook page. We'll probably put it up later in the week, but we've taken it down for right now. I want to explain. The reason is because This is the routine they're going to show down there, well, and they're in competition. So they don't want anybody. They don't want anybody looking at what they do because they do it very well.
Absolutely.
So that is very understandable. But that is something maybe later in the week we'll put up when they're already down there and it's too late for anybody to copy what they do.
Love that. Okay.
But
I thought about that. I was like, oh wait, we don't want to show their hand, right?
No, well, that's true. It's just like going to a football practice and looking at their huddle and checking out their plays that they're going to do for the big game. So, you know, there's a parallel there. All right, well, there's another interesting thing going on that we want to show you. This is the gasoline price deal, Hayden. Jackson and Wellston are about 7 miles apart.
Yeah.
But they are about 37 cents per gallon apart on the gas.
Boy, have I gotten an earful about that.
Okay, well, this is the...
People are really talking.
Well, this is the digital sign at Speedway in Jackson. That was as of Sunday, $3.35.9. That's the top price for the unleaded gas that most people get. It did come down to $3.32 yesterday, but when I took the picture for purposes of publication, it was $3.35.9. Now we're going to show you the picture of the Speedway in Wellston, $2.98.9 on Sunday. 37 cents difference.
Why?
Okay, we're in the same time zone. We're in the same county. We're in the same demographic. It's the same ownership, the same brand of gasoline, the same supplier, I imagine. Why is there a 37-cent difference? I don't have an answer, Jennifer.
Oh, darn it, Pete. You didn't know. You don't know.
I do not have the answer.
No one can give me an answer either.
Right. And, you know, this is something that gets talked about a good bit by the public. For some reason, you don't hear a lot about it. You know, they argue about everything at the political level, at the federal level, and like that. But you know that they're controlling the prices. And you're not supposed to be able to do that.
No, you're not.
Now, we do want to say this, too, you know, on the gasoline folks. A lot of that price is taxes. You know, you may not realize that. Federal and state taxes drive it up a good bit, maybe about as much as a dollar.
Yeah.
So
are there any city gas taxes?
If there are, I don't know about
them.
Well,
it's not going to be 37 cents a gallon.
Right.
You know, to make up that difference.
Right. But there are county and local taxes on license plates. It's kind of a indirect tax on driving.
Yeah.
But there's a 30. I've never seen that before. And there's another trend that is different. You know this because you're a townie. For many years, Jackson in the county used to have the lowest prices you could count on. It's a little higher in Colton, a little higher in Wellston, a little higher in Oak Hill. That has not been the case for at least the last 6 months.
No.
You come to the county seat, and boy, you're going to pay more for gasoline.
Yeah.
Now, why there is a 37-cent difference, I can't say. Maybe we'll get some response from people who know.
Yeah. Can someone clarify that for us?
Right. Okay. Well, here is something that happened over the weekend that we didn't have time to talk about yesterday, and this is a fire that happened on the Walmart parking lot on Friday.
I couldn't believe that. Looks like a new car.
I tell you what, it is a 2013 Lincoln SUV. So it's a good. It's a good quality car.
Yeah.
It was anyway.
Well, it was.
Right. This is an actual photo. We didn't enhance this. We didn't get this off the internet or anything. We were given permission to use this picture. This was Chastity Karshner, who happened to be on the scene to take this picture.
Wow.
But this car was parked at the Walmart parking lot. I'm not sure if the fire occurred, you know, when the person was driving in, they parked there, or somehow it caught fire while it was parked and idle. I'm not sure. But it was owned by Leah Sadler. And obviously, the gentleman there, and that picture was taken by Jenna Lewis. Both of them allowed us to use their photo. Red Thompson Jr. was there and Bill Dillon only were both there and got a photos a little later. But this is right after the fire occurred. That gentleman who is putting it out is Ben Cecil. He is a Bloomfield Township Fire Department, obviously off duty, but he happened to be at Walmart.
Wow. Thanks, Ben.
He grabbed a fire extinguisher. Not everybody would go up to a burning car. Remember, have you seen in the movies where they explode when they're on fire?
Yeah.
Right. Well, he was not afraid. He put the fire out, and the Jackson Fire Department did come and douse it down afterwards, but it was he who put the fire out, so we want to give him credit as well.
Wow.
And
we want
to thank everybody out there in the public, whether you know they're on social media or they text us or they call us when they see news happening. We want to know about it.
In this case, it was Friday night. A lot of people have already checked out for the day, but both Dylan and Red ran there to the scene and took care of it. So we do thank them for that.
That
story, by the way, will be in our Wednesday paper, too, and it's already online.
Okay.
Over the weekend, there was Shrek the Musical Junior performed by the Oak Hill Drama Club. I think we had Brittany Kugel and some of her folks here to promote that beforehand. And it was a beautiful play. Look at some of, I mean, if you're familiar with Shrek, very colorful characters. That is Shrek and Fiona. Shrek is played by Maggie Smittle, and Fiona is played by, let's see, I don't have that name. But anyway.
She was here on the show.
She was there on the show. You can see Fiona and you can see Shrek. And there were some other photos there. Hayden, if you can run them there. But these are some of the photos that Jeremiah Shaver took during an actual performance. I believe he was there on Sunday. And we'll have some of those pictures in the paper on Wednesday.
So cute.
And I talked to a couple people there in addition to Jeremiah, and they were very impressed with the performance. So props to the kids in the Oak Hill Drama Club. A lot of kids were involved in this. Props to Brittany Kugel, who has been involved in the plays before, but this was the first time I think she was the director, stepping into, you know, the main director's role. And and it sounds like that she did a great job. Now, we have three more high school plays coming up, and I know that some of the directors and kids are going to be here on Main Street TV to promote their show, but you've got SpongeBob, the musical, coming from the Jackson High School Drama Club.
Fun.
Right, and you've got the play coming from Wellston, and you've also got the play coming from Vinton County. Vinton County, I am remembering, is Phantom of the Opera. And the Wellston folks will be here tomorrow. Do you remember what play that is, Dylan, by any chance? They have been preparing a play for a long time, too. They're all musicals.
Yeah.
But you'll learn more about the Wellston High School play tomorrow. And those plays, all three that we're talking about, Jackson, Vinton County, and Wellston, will all be next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend, the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, I think.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All right. We have new COVID guidelines from the Jackson County Health Department. Now, they didn't make...
What? Is that still a thing?
What is it?
Into the Woods Jr.
Into the Woods Jr.
Okay.
It will be the play by the Wellston High School Drama Club and Mrs. Potter there will do that. Okay, but anyway, the health department is passing along the guidelines from the CDC because we couldn't get the CDC to come and give us them themselves. But this is important. It's one of the great stories how we handled COVID the first time and how we're handling it now. You almost don't know that it's around, but it has been.
Is it a thing still?
What was it? About 6 weeks ago, I think Jackson County had more COVID cases than anybody else in the state, or maybe it's been 2 months, but it's still around a little bit. But here are the new guidelines, and we're sharing these in the paper, and they'll be online as well, and we'll talk about the highlights right now here on Main Street TV. Now, people who test for the virus will no longer be directed to isolate from home for 5 days if they don't have any symptoms and they're not sick. Because before, the thought was, you know, if you're contagious, you know, you're just as dangerous if you're not. Now, for some reason, if you're contagious, stay home. But if you're not sick with symptoms or a fever, you can circulate just like you always do.
Okay.
So seems like that's a little bit incongruent, but, you know, these are the folks who are in charge and they should know. Guidance actions still include staying at home when you're sick, staying up to date with vaccines, practicing good hygiene, and improving indoor air quality. The CDC, and this comes from the health department, I give them a lot of credit for passing this along. The CDC is recommending that people who test positive for COVID-19 should base their isolation period on their clinical symptoms. Individuals who have had a fever as a symptom can return to work or school and normal activities when the fever has been gone for at least 24 hours.
Okay.
And if their other symptoms are improving. So this countdown 5 days, 7 days, 2 weeks, or whatever, that's all over if your symptoms are subsiding and you don't have a fever. And if you've tested positive and you're not sick, you're not showing symptoms, you have no fever, you're free to go.
Okay.
Okay, did you know that?
No.
Okay, well, now you do. I don't think I said that wrong. I'm reading from my script here.
Did they mention masking or anything like that, or are they...
Nothing about masking.
Okay.
It's all gone.
You know, I've seen
now,
more people...
People still wear the mask, and,
sure.
You know, I mean, I always thought that if you wear the mask, you're protecting somebody else rather than
That's
yourself.
That's the way I look at
it. But they always say it works both ways, so
yeah.
I'm not sure what the latest on masks are. They didn't say. They didn't poo-poo masks. They didn't say keep wearing the mask.
Okay.
They didn't...
I can tell you the flu B has taken more people down than COVID recently. I can tell... Everybody I know has flu B.
The flu has been bad.
It's
now,
been bad this year.
We talked about, I think, last on the show, towards the end of the week, we're reviewing news about the Rhodes Student Center, the renovated Rhodes Student Center,
yeah.
Putting close to $2 million into that. Okay, on the newspaper side, we couldn't get that in our Saturday paper, but we'll have our complete coverage of that on our Wednesday paper. So we know a lot of folks go to school down at Ryo. They're alumni or whatever. They may have kids going to Ryo in the future. So, that is our nearby college. It's a big deal there. And so we're going to share that story. Alex Shope was down there. Derek McManus from our sales department was down there. And Alex, as always, has written up a great story that we're going to have in our Wednesday paper telling you all about why that Rhodes Student Center is so improved and what that will do for the
Love
university.
That.
All right. We want to also promote the fact that James Hamilton has a photography exhibit at the Marquet Cultural Arts Center. You and I both know that.
Yes, because we were there.
We were there for the opening opening night reception. It was last Thursday.
Yep.
And James is a photographer. His employment that he's had at a couple media companies, and now he's over at High University in the Fine Arts Department.
Yes.
He's always used photography, and even before that. He's just on a personal level, a great shutter bug.
Yes.
Takes great nature pictures, especially of birds, right out his
front
window.
James and his birds.
right. He is.
So
I'm a fan of nature photos, love cardinals. And did you see that picture of James there, Dylan? So we can show you what James looks like, too, since he takes the pictures.
Yeah. It's looking weird, he said.
Okay. Well, James is all dressed up very dapper that
yes,
night, so that's
very...
why we wanted to show you. But
there we go.
There he is. There is James by one of his bigger photos. All those photos, by the way, are for sale.
Yes.
You can see his exhibit perfectly free. The Marquet is open, 269 East Main Street in downtown Jackson, from 12 to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. I believe all his photographs are for sale. The one that he's standing by there is Captain America that he took at a cosplay.
Yes.
A lot of folks don't know what cosplay is, but that's where you dress up in costumes that emulate, a well-known character, many cartoon characters, for instance. Mm-hmm. So you can get some great photographs at those places as well as nature. But those are his two main topics. So congratulations to James. And, of course, James Oak Hill High School graduate now lives in Jackson, so a lot of folks know him.
Yep.
All right, you want to check out Wednesday's paper because we've already got a list of, about 10 or 12 Easter egg hunts that are coming up. Remember, Easter comes around early, so the Easter egg hunts come around early. So you want to check our list out. We'll be telling you more about those. Some of them are really big ones. The Easter egg hunts are much bigger than they used to be. There used to be two or three, and now, it seems like everybody has them, but we're trying to keep up with them. All right, and we also want to tell you, we're running out of time, but early voting is continuing. Your early in-person voting, the hours have really extended and expanded at our local Board of Elections. Tonight, for instance, at every Board of Elections office in the state, that includes Jackson and Vinton counties, that office will be open at 7:30 this morning through the early birds. It'll be open till 7:30 p.m. tonight. Then on Wednesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., not quite as late. And then it will be open Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. That's the last day for early in-person voting. Primary election on the 19th, Tuesday. We'll tell you more about what's on the ballot as we go.
Tomorrow is the next session of the Lenten Luncheon at First Baptist Church. It starts at noon. They always have a nice program. I believe Christ Church of Jackson will be in charge of the program this week. Five churches put that on every week. The Baptist Church here in Jackson is always the host. They have a nice soup and sandwich buffet and then a inspirational program, and it all takes an hour or less, so it's good for working people as well as those who aren't working because they've retired or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there we are. I don't think there's anything else I have to tell you. We'll have some stuff left over maybe to talk later on the week. And if you got to gas up, drive to Wellston. It'll be worth it. You'll save some money in the long run.
That's crazy.
So you'll use extra gas, but you'll save money in the long run. I know you're cost conscious.
Yeah, or if you have to go to Athens or something like that, pull off on your way there.
Well, I should have said this too, because this is interesting. You're thinking maybe Jackson is on the high end. Really not. Jackson is in the middle right now on the latest survey by AAA. Wellston is like an oasis of a low gas price. The average in South Central Ohio is $3.35, and that's what we've got in Jackson. Wellston, $2.99.
Hey.
Tell me.
In Wellston.
Hey, go figure. Go figure. Maybe the guy that decides the prices, he lives in Wellston.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't have any other explanation.
All right. Well, Pete, thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning. And thank you to our friends from the Open Table for coming in and having that discussion as well. Very, very interesting topic and very welcoming group of folks.
So. Right, exactly. Very cool. The doors are open.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, have a wonderful day, everyone, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.